As I was preparing, and just a reminder, if you go into the other room and the speaker's there and it's too loud, turn the volume down, don't turn the speaker off. Beautiful. Just because that stops the recording then. As I was praying about this week and what to speak on, man, the same theme that has come up, well, that I talked on last week came up, and then what we talked about on Tuesday at Bible study was coming to my head, and I'm like, Lord, is this right? And it was funny, you know, sometimes a bad memory is a really beautiful thing, because as God was blessing me with some of these passages, I was just like, oh, this is so good. Like, thank you, Lord. And I was being ministered to. It's like, man, this sounds familiar, though. And then I had to get last week's sermon ready to put it online. And I was listening to some of it. And it's like, oh, yeah, I just preached this. That's why. But so it started on Monday. Carlene already mentioned we went to see The Chosen. And the exact same scene or episode that Carlene mentioned was coming to me, and this is found in both Matthew 8 and Luke 7 and the centurion. I'm just referencing it. You don't need to turn there. But just the faith of the centurion and how the creative team of The Chosen, the way they told the story, they told it in contrast to what some of the disciples were going through, and immediately, oh, spoiler alert, too late. Immediately before is when James and John had asked to stand or sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand, and in contrast to that, then you have the faith of the centurion, like, I believe, and just this simple, beautiful belief and how it ministered to Jesus. And in the scriptures, it says he was amazed at his faith. Like, I haven't found this kind of faith in all of Jerusalem. And just how faith pleases God. In fact, in Romans or Hebrews, I forget which, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you want to please God, if you want to make God smile and you want to bring joy to him, it's faith. We can't give him anything else. Everything we have belongs to him already, like any possessions. Yes, we give at church and all that kind of stuff, but everything we have was given by him. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need food. He doesn't need, you know, all these things. Doesn't need accolades. But faith really makes him happy. It brings pleasure. And so as we're watching, so we're in the theater, and I'm having a God moment, like, Lord, I'm just communing with the Lord at that point. And I hear, again, if I've heard correctly, I hear the Lord saying, build your faith. And I knew it was for me, but then as I meditated on it a little bit more and just dwelt on that, not only when we were there in the theater, but afterwards, I felt it was for us. And as I continued on, I was like, yeah, this is good. And this is when I realized, actually, we've been talking about some of this already, and it's so funny. But build your faith. And it wasn't, I want to say it this way, it was not an encouragement. It was a command. Build your faith. And as I meditated on it, it was this place of, because it's necessary. You need to build your faith, almost in this place of, in order to get through what's coming, you need to build your faith. This is required. This isn't a suggestion. It's required. And so automatically, my question to the Lord was, well, then how? How do I build my faith, Lord? How? Can you? Like, I can't just sit here and close my eyes really tight and I believe, you know, how? So I began to do some research and searching up in Scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. And I believe this is the key. And this is where you'll see the string. Like, I'm going to give us a little bit of a math equation, if you will, today. Or dots being connected again. You know how I love that. But if A, then B. If B, then C. If C, then D. you know, kind of thing. And one place leads to another in the scriptures that I'm going to bring. But Romans chapter 10, I'll start in verse 16, just to start at the beginning of the paragraph. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Now I have to back up a little bit more, because if you don't know your scriptures, and like, or if you don't know this chapter very well, you'll be like, okay, that was kind of in the middle of a thought, obviously. But it talks about how the man who does these things, back in verse 5, will live by them, meaning the law. But righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, or who will descend into the deep. But what does it say? The word, verse 8, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So this is, and then a little bit later, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? That's why I preach. Right? And how can they preach unless they are sent? I've been sent, and others have been sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Then verse 16. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. How it began is how it continues. There is that theme in life, right? We're born and we start breathing. How do we continue to live? We continue to breathe. We are nourished when we're young. We are nourished when we're old. We need to continue to feed. We need to continue to drink. We need to continue to take care of ourselves. How it begins is how it continues. Those of us who are believers, okay, in the family of God, how did we come to faith? We heard the message, whether we grew up in the church or whether we were not in the church and maybe a friend came along, or maybe we read a book, or maybe we heard a sermon online. We heard the message and we received it. We accepted it. We believed it. And then we chose, again, that word, right? We chose that for ourselves. We accepted the invitation and we said yes. And that's how our faith began. We went from dead to alive. We were all of a sudden born again. We weren't alive at one point. We were alive the next moment. And we're born again. We belong to the family of God. We belong to Christ. You know, we've crossed over from death to life. That's how our faith began. How can it continue? How do we grow in our faith or build our faith? It's the same way. We continue to hear and believe. We continue to hear the word and believe the word. And this is why it is so important to be in the word of God. How can we believe if we're not hearing? Right? Yes, we can come to church or we can listen to sermons, and that's good. That's good. But like I've shared before, this is kind of like a spiritual meal that we get on Sunday morning. And I hope it's a good meal. I hope it's like, you know, when we do have meals together and we have the potluck, and this is why we have the open mic even, where different people bring different dishes, you know, things that God is saying to you, things that God is saying to you, things that God is saying to you. And if we're paying attention, it's all rooted in the Word of God. Oh, that one was a little spicy. Oh, yeah, it was. God likes some spicy food. It's a spicy meatball. Anyways, that's an old movie. Okay. It's this place of, there's meals, and we have a meal here today. But if this is your only meal this week, you're going to be hungry. Like, by tonight, you're going to be hungry. Right? It was interesting. We were talking before church began about how God has made us to need sleep. And Brian was saying, scientists don't even understand what sleep does exactly, or why, the whole why. We just know that we do need it. God could have made us where we didn't need sleep. He could make us any way he wants. He wasn't bound by the laws of nature because he made the laws of nature. Like, he created them in the first place. So it's not like, oh, shoot, what do? I don't really want them to sleep, but they need to. No, he made us. So he created us to need rest. He created us to need food. And not just, like, there are some animals out there who can have one meal, gorge themselves, like a python, for instance, can eat a deer, and then not eat for the next few months. We're not made that way. We eat, and we need to eat again. And then we need to eat again. Now, sometimes we eat too much, okay? Need to let it digest. There's sermon in that, too. But we need to eat. How do you grow in your faith? How do you grow strong? You need to eat. You need to be in the Word of God consistently. You need to hear the message, and then when you hear it, we believe it. We choose to believe. And it comes through the hearing of the Word. So this choosing to believe, it leads me then to a verse that we talked about last week, and I think this is a theme of what God is saying to us this like last week, this week, maybe in future weeks, definitely, but definitely privately too, as you walk with God in your own walk. But James 1:21, like, humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. So we hear the word, but then you need to accept the word. And that's getting harder and harder in our society, because if you're not noticing, the Word of God directly opposes the narrative of the world right now. And it has for a long time. This is nothing new, okay? But it's becoming more and more apparent that the Word of God is not coinciding with the words of the world. And we need to choose who we're going to believe. One message leads to life, the other message leads to death. Choose this day whom you'll serve, right? Whose food are you going to eat? But as we consume, there's a saying out there, right? You are what you eat. Or there's this computer term for all the people who love computers, garbage in, garbage out. Little side note, we're seeing that with the whole AI, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, and all these things. Garbage in, garbage out. The artificial intelligence is refusing to answer certain questions, and because it's not according to the narrative. Don't blame the AI, because it's not like the AI is a person. It's the people who made the AI. The AI is speaking in line with the ideology of those who have created it and the ideology of the information that it gathers that's on the internet. It's really interesting if you dig into it. But we're like that. Who we listen to, who we choose to listen to, it affects us. And so we need to be careful. And according to James, brother of Jesus, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, humbly accept the word of God planted within you. It's like, okay, I believe. I believe what you say about life. I believe what you say about finance. I believe what you say. It's like, it's exactly what I shared last week a little bit, but just continuing on. I believe what you say about work, family, marriage, time schedule, righteousness, holiness, evil, wickedness, judgment. I believe what you say in all these things. Even geopolitical, I believe what you say about Israel. I believe what you say about the surrounding nations. I believe what you say. I humbly accept the word of God. Now may God give us wisdom as we discern, but I humbly accept the word of God. So what does it mean to accept it? Again, if this is repetition, understand, I'm not apologizing for repetition because I love repetition in my own life. And I need those layers of repetition from the Lord for it to just be planted deep, to go deep in me. But James chapter 2, 17 talks about how with no works, your faith is dead. So how do you increase your faith? Okay, you believe what you've heard. How do you believe? What does that look like practically? It means walk it out. You see it, you live it. You read it, you see it, you see God explaining something, you then live it out. I choose this. I choose it. Over and over and over again, I choose God. I choose His ways. I choose to say yes to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It just shares this reality of how we are called to be people who walk by faith. This is the characteristic. This is one of the characteristics of the family of God. And if you're a part of the family of God, this is how we're called to walk, by faith. Being sure of what we hope for. This is an explanation of what faith is, Hebrews chapter 11. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. Oh, we might not understand it. It might offend us even. Oh, if you're not offended by God, if you're not offended by the Word of God, you're not reading it right. You're not reading the Bible right. If God doesn't push you, then either you're one of the most amazing people ever, or you're just not reading the Word of God right. Because His ways are offensive to our own natural sensibilities. His ways are offensive to our flesh. His ways are definitely offensive to the world. And so if you're buying into what the world is saying, the Word of God is going to offend you. Absolutely. So we humbly accept the Word of God, and then we walk it out. We are called to walk by faith. This is 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say. We are confident. And then he's talking about being away from the body and being with the Lord. So confident that I would prefer to be with Him. Like our eyes are set so much on Christ that we would actually prefer to be with Him. And I would encourage, just a little aside, if you don't have that kind of zeal for the Lord, like, yes, in one way, I want to be here. It's like when Paul talks about, should I go? Should I stay? I know that for your sake, it's better if I stay. I've prayed about this, and I used to say, oh, just Lord, take me. You know, just take me. I'm good. And I am good. If the Lord takes me, please, please don't mourn too much at my funeral if you're around. Like, I'm happy. You know, but there is this place of, but I want to also live because I want to be everything that God has called me to be, and I want to accomplish everything that He has called me to accomplish, and I want to pour into people that He's called me to pour into, and I want to love on those He's called me to love. I want to bring teaching to those He's brought me to bring teaching to, but I'm looking forward to the end of the race. I really am. And if you're not filled with that longing, if you still have that kind of Bible, I've shared about Bible college before where some guys are like, no, I don't want the Lord to come back yet. I'm not married. I need to get married. You know, and you know guys in college dorms, they're, you know what they're thinking. And it's like, really? Like, you think that's better than the Lord Jesus coming again? And us being set free from this world of death and decay and sin and receiving your glorified body. You think that's, like, you think staying here, anything here? No. There's nothing here that is better than the kingdom of God and the fullness of the kingdom of God. And so I pray that we would be filled with that longing. If you're not filled with that longing, ask. Ask to see the kingdom of God. Ask to understand our inheritance and what is to come. Ask. Ask Him to open your eyes. It's amazing. And again, not that we don't run the race marked out for us. We walk the walk. We talk the talk. We live the life. We minister to those we're called to minister. Yes, there are things to do here. And so not this place of denialism of our present day and age and what we're called to, but never also forgetting our beautiful inheritance that is to come. Anyways, back to the walking by faith. How do we get from lying there as a baby, right? You have a baby, right? And then eventually the baby is able to turn over, and then eventually the baby starts to crawl, and then eventually the baby starts to stand, and then eventually the baby starts to, like, you know, waddle and like all that, and then walk, and then run, and then do amazing coordinated things. It's one step at a time, but it's choosing. And as you walk, you grow stronger, right? It's amazing. It's amazing how God has made the body. Even me standing here instead of sitting, me standing is building muscle. It's maintaining muscle. I don't know if I'm at an age where I can build any more muscle. I don't know. But like, you know, but, and as we walk, we grow stronger. And if we walk faithfully, eventually we're able to run. So how do you build your faith? You walk it out. And as you walk it out, you become stronger. We are meant to be people who live by faith, who walk by faith. Not by our own sight, not by our own understanding. I've said before, I think the third greatest commandment that is disobeyed by the church, okay, the first greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, that's the first greatest commandment that's disobeyed. The church needs to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, not just part. The second greatest commandment that we disobey is love your neighbor as yourself, which is also the second greatest commandment. We need to love better. We really do. But the third greatest commandment I believe that's disobeyed by the church is trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And it's not just acknowledge him as in, hey, I see you there, but it's know him. The word in Hebrew is yada. And it's like this knowledge of him. And when it's this knowledge that produces, reproduces, a man knows a woman, and out comes a child. This knowledge of him, this knowing, we are commanded to know him that way and not lean on our own understanding. Stop having faith. We need to stop having faith in ourselves and have more faith in him. We walk that out, we will grow stronger. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Again, not because God loves Jews better. It's just this order. And the Jews are chosen first. Why were they chosen? Because God chose a people to be the evangelists of the world. The Jews were supposed to share the truth of Yahweh with the whole world. They failed miserably. They actually kept it to themselves and really rejected that calling, sadly, okay? But the order of things is still that way, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. We, the younger brother, don't despise the Jew. Don't despise the older brother who has failed miserably at their calling. We need to now be the ones who go to the older brother and say, come on in. Come on into the party. Come on in. Anyways, that's a little aside. But first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. In some translations, it says it this way. It's not from faith or by faith from first to last. It is from faith to faith. And what that makes me think of, it's just like we have the phrase in Scripture, from glory to glory, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed from glory to glory. And as we say yes to God, we're transformed step by step. Same with faith. From faith to faith. I find, as I look at my life, there were some things that I found hard to believe 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But now I believe them fully as I have read the scripture, as I have sought the Lord with all my heart, as I have chosen purposely to not lean on my own understanding, as I have chosen to say no to self and yes to God, as I have chosen to not listen to the lies of the world and yes to God, I see that I believe what once was hard for me to believe. And I walk it out. And it's from faith to faith. And as we increase in that faith, from faith to faith, a righteousness that is by faith is revealed to us. It's opened up to us. And oh, God's righteousness, it's so wonderful to walk in. I don't mean this holier than thou kind of thing, because that's pride. That's not from God. That's a false thing. That's a counterfeit of the enemy. It's like finding a counterfeit Gucci on the streets of Toronto. You know, it's utterly fake. Now, I'm talking about a true righteousness that ministers to the depth of your being, where you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, walk in the peace of God, walk in His strength, walk in His joy. It's by faith. And then lastly, I hope you've been following the point to point to point, A, then B, then C. And lastly, as I was meditating on this, I thought about our effectiveness. And James chapter 5, 16 talks about the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Righteous person. I didn't check this out, but I imagine the word there is anthropos, which means just people in general. So not males, but male and female, men and women. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Yes, we walk in Christ's righteousness, so we are saved only by His righteousness. It's not by works. But then we're called to then partake in righteousness and choose righteousness. And as we choose, we are changed and transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and we'll see that our prayers are affected because we're stronger in the faith and they have more potency because He has chosen to do it that way. Build your faith. Again, I really believe this is not an option or an encouragement. Come on, you can do it. Build your faith. Yay. Don't get me wrong. He's cheering us on. But I see much more of a serious thing than that. As I receive it from the Lord, as I see it with my spirit, it's this command. Build your faith. Last week, I went through the book of Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the walls. It's absolutely necessary that they did that. And while the walls were being rebuilt, the enemy was coming at them with accusation, with threat, with insult, with persecution, all these things. They built the wall. Why is the wall there? For protection. And once the wall was built, it talks about the enemies. We're now afraid. Build your faith. Build your faith. Humbly accept the word of God planted in you. If you see anywhere in your life where you are rejecting the word of God, rejecting what He has said. And even as we pray over each other on our birthdays, no, it's not the scriptures, and it's not, we can't say it's the word of God, because we get things wrong at times. But if there's a deep amen in your heart, and you know it's from the Lord, like you, the person who is receiving it, because we always say, if someone gives you a word, you take it to the Lord needs to speak it to you. Okay, I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives in me, but I am still fallen and fallible. I still get things wrong, okay? But you take it to the Lord. You pray over it. And if you hear the Lord saying something, you need to walk that out. Humbly accept the word of God planted in you. Build your faith. It is absolutely necessary. And so I pray that we would be a people who bring a smile to Jesus' face. I can't imagine anything better. I would still love to see him. I've never seen him with my eyes. Gotten some glimpses of him in my spirit. But I would love not just like, I know the scriptures say, well, like the phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. I pray that I will be able to hear those words, but I also pray that when he says it, there will be a huge smile on his face. To imagine that we can bring absolute pleasure to Almighty God. But it's not just that, it is also, it's that plus this is essential. This is essential, especially in our day and age, as we're continuing on. And again, there have been other times and definitely other places in the world, and this is always necessary. But I just hear the Lord saying to us, build your faith. Be purposeful about it. Choose it. How? Humbly accept the word of God planted within you. Get in the word. Hear the word over and over again. Choose to walk it out. And you will find yourself going from faith to faith. A righteousness will be revealed in you, to you and in you, and you'll see your prayers even affected. Okay? Are there any comments or questions on that? All right. All right, so Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you inspired people in the Old Testament, you inspired people in the New Testament to share your words. And I pray, Lord God, that our eyes would be opened more and more. I pray that you would strengthen our will to follow you. I pray that we would not be afraid, but that we would be strong and courageous to follow you wherever you go, no matter what the cost. And Lord, I can testify that I have tasted of your word and I have seen that it is good. I see what it's done in my life. I see what it's done in my marriage. I see what it's done in my family. I've seen what it's done with my children. I've seen what it's done in the church. Your ways are good and beautiful. And I hear you saying, build your faith. Lord, I want to acknowledge I have heard this. I have heard you speak it. And I say yes. Love you. In your name, amen. Let's worship together in song.
I'll start with Hope of the Nations.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life.
You never let go. Lion and the Lamb. Thank you. No other name. Mountains bow down as we lift him up.
shake and tremble before him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name, holy is the name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the earth will shake and tremble.
Yeah.
Jesus, I thank you that your name is higher than any other. Lord, that you are our hope. Lord, I thank you that you reach out your hand to us.